Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we're ready to break down a busy June for the Indiana Hoosiers that saw IU gain four commitments. With several others pending. We'll talk about all four commitments, what they bring to the recruiting class, where this recruiting class stands in the Big Ten and nationally, and who might be next to pull the trigger for IU. It was a big June recruiting-wise. The dead period was lifted. It goes back into effect in July, which is its normal schedule. So, college football recruiting has kind of returned to normalcy, and we'll see where it goes from there. So, all right. We have a word from our ad at Spotify Green Room, a live audio only sports talk platform, free to download and to use. You could talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences with other people as well. I have not used this app, but I've used similar apps, and it's very, very fun. Spotify Green Room is a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations. And we'll see. So all you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, which is free on the iOS and Android app store. Create a profile, link to Twitter, and join your group. We'll see if we're going to go live on Green Room this year. But TJ, one, how are you doing? It's been a couple weeks since we've talked, and it's been a couple big weeks. How are you doing? And you know, what are your initial thoughts on the month of June for Indiana football?
Yeah, great to be on back talking Indiana football in some sense. Certainly, we're kind of gearing up to begin our 2021 preview shows. But first up, you got to deal with recruiting. And so far, the class is assembling pretty nicely for Indiana. Certainly, you're not going to get everybody that you're after, but the IU staff does appear to be getting, you know, a decent number of their top targets. We're going to talk about some of those today. Joining Desan McCullough, that was kind of the early sort of exclamation point for this class, kind of a catalyst to really get things going. And, you know, one thing that stands out to me is having a player like him who is, you know, a top 50 player in the country, depending on what service you're looking at rankings wise, having a player like him being a online social media presence and a presence on the visits, because he's a coach's kid, he can be there. I think it is a really priceless resource for Indiana to be able to have to help build this class. It's really stood out to me how much Desan McCullough is out there engaging with the rest of the targets in this class, trying to bring them to Bloomington with him.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you look at the recruiting class and it's sitting at 37th nationally and 10th in the Big Ten. Right. But I think IU's in the top four in the Big Ten, but based on average player ranking. Their average player ranking right now is 88, is 0.8895. What we like to do is just move that decimal point over two spots, 88.95. Last year, it was 86.6. So you could see the talent is coming to Bloomington. You have two four-star commits in Deshaun McCullough, as you mentioned, Treviel Mullen as well as a four-star. And then, you know, Richard Thomas is a high three-star. Josh Hoover, who we'll talk about here in a second. It's kind of an underrated prospect out of Texas. Carter Smith has the potential to move up into a four-star rating. He's a, you know, mid to high three-star right now. Isaiah Jones is the fourth guy who committed this month as well, and he's an 85.65. So you look at these commits, and you have two of the top six all-time highest recruits in Mullen and McCullough. And I don't like using all that stuff as, you know, great. Did they produce? I mean, Dom Booth and guys, Taj Williams is counted as seventh, and he never played a snap for IU. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt where it was. But, you know, the talent is coming into Bloomington. Let's start with Treviel Mullen. He's the brother of Tylan Mullen. He, according to people, is supposed to be the best of the Mullen brothers. One was a MVP of the national championship game for Clemson and is now playing with the Las Vegas Raiders. The other, Tylan Mullen, he's All-American as a sophomore. So, you know, if it doesn't have to be better than them, but if he could play to their potential, Treviel Mullen is going to be pretty good.
Well, you know, what jumps out immediately, and, you know, we are not talent evaluator experts. I mean, but, you know, it's apparent when you watch his highlights, what he does that you're looking for in a corner. Locates the ball really well. He's really quick and shifty in sticking to receivers. And then makes plays on the ball. I mean, much like his brother, Taiwan, that we have seen, you know, just the competitive nature to make plays on the ball and refuse to get beaten. That's an invaluable trait to have for a defensive back. And I think if we can get anything remotely close to what Taiwan has given Indiana so far in terms of leadership, in terms of attitude, and in terms of on-field production, he's going to be a tremendous asset for the Hoosiers. So to be able to, you know, clearly his brother loves the experience that he's having with Tom Allen and his staff. You're never going to get a more honest evaluation of a program and whether or not, you know, hey, little brother, should you come here or not? You're never going to get a more honest evaluation than you are from an older brother. And Taiwan clearly is loving his experience and was able to convey that to Treviel Mullen. He comes to Indiana choosing the Hoosiers over a ton of high majors and really powerful football programs. So the second four-star in this class joining Deshaun McCullough, you know, the pessimist could say, well, yeah, but, you know, both of those have family connections and, you know, how excited should we get about that? You're right. There are family connections there, but so what? I mean, that's part of it, you know, and if those family connections help you land prospects because those other family members clearly believe in Tom Allen and the direction of the IU football program, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, and, you know, the brother connection is an obvious one, but IU recruited him really, really hard.
Yep.
And you know,
the entire time.
Yeah, and your doubters will say, well, McCullough's only there because of his dad and his brothers, and Mullen's only there because of his brother, Tylan. Let's move down to Josh Hoover. He's the quarterback recruit. He's out of Texas. You know, smaller quarterbacks out of Texas have had very good success. In the Big Ten, and one of them comes to mind is Drew Brees. But Hoover is 6'1", 206. He's put up fantastic numbers statistically there. He's a three-star quarterback. He fits what Indiana wants to do. with their quarterback position. What are your thoughts on, I know you're high on Josh Hoover. What are your thoughts and bringing him into a room with, you know, you potentially have Michael Penix, you have Jack Tuttle, Donovan McCulley, and Dexter Williams as well.
It's difficult to recruit to that position because it's one of the few positions, if not the only one in football, that you know there's only one guy that's going to play. Now, you can compete and beat out that guy and the other ones in the room to be QB1, or there can be injuries, which we've seen in Indiana. But for the most part, you know, unless you are the top quarterback, you're not going to be the starter. So it's difficult when you've got Michael Penix, which not going to really be a consideration for Josh Hoover. Penix will be gone by the time Josh Hoover is ready to play. However, you've got four-star Donovan McCulley ahead of you. You've got Dexter Williams ahead of you. And you've got Jack Tuttle, former four-star, ahead of you. And I say ahead of you just in terms of, you know, class. When they're coming in, Josh Hoover clearly not scared off by that. I think what intrigues you about him is, number one, the competition level. He played at Rockwall Heath High School in Texas. That's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's in the largest football classification for Texas. So he's playing terrific talent every single week. It might not be the best in the country. Florida probably would surpass it, kind of the a few areas in Florida, but you know, Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, almost as talent-rich as you're going to get in terms of football. So he's playing that every week, and he's excelling. 36 touchdowns last season. On his highlight film, you know, Rockwall Heath, like every other school in Texas, plays that spread offense, and he has a really good touch on his deep ball. Not a cannon for an arm. He's not Michael Penix. However, I do think he has a very good arm. And he's, I'll probably catch some flack for saying this because I know he's the in-state kid, but as far as quarterback just prospects go as a quarterback right now, I think Josh Hoover is better than Donovan McCulley. I think he has a more refined arm. I think he is more accurate. I think his mechanics are a little bit better in terms of his footwork. I think Josh Hoover is better at those things right now than Donovan McCulley. Now, he's not the athlete that McCulley is, and he does not have the size that McCulley does. You know, if Josh Hoover was 6'4", he's probably a four-star prospect and likely not coming to Indiana. I mean, a four-star kid in Dallas-Fort Worth is probably not leaving the state of Texas. But he's 6'1". So that gets him to Indiana. He did have offers from schools in Texas, believes in the IU staff, and wanted to come be a part of this. I think it's a terrific get and just about as good as you were going to do at that position, given the depth chart for Indiana right now. I do think that Josh Hoover is going to have a chance by the time he is, say, a redshirt sophomore to contend for that starting position. That's a long way away, but he does have the tools, really everything you're looking for outside of height. He's not a great athlete, but he is a good enough one that can make plays, extend plays with his legs. I like Josh Hoover quite a bit, and I think a lot of it comes from that competition level. You know, I've got a lot of confidence that if you're putting up those numbers against big schools in Dallas-Fort Worth, you're pretty good.
Yeah, you know, Texas and Dallas area, that's the real deal for high school football. Moving on, let's go down to Carter Smith. He's offensive tackle, 6'6", 275, rated 3 stars at 85.99. He's from Olentangy Liberty, which is the same school as Hunter Littlejohn. It's great to see IU go back to schools where they've had success. recruiting people, especially in Ohio, which has really good high school football as well. He's a guy I really like on the offensive line. He's big, he's tough. He had plenty of offers coming out as well. You know, IU beat out Northwestern, Tennessee, Virginia, as well there. So, and he had offers from like Auburn and schools like that. So Indiana's playing in the deep end of the pool in terms of recruiting, and they're winning some of these battles. And I think Carter Smith down the road is, you know, as long as Darren Hiller shows that he can develop the talent that they have, because they do have some solid young linemen that have been in the pipeline for a while, and they needed to be developed, but the talent was there. So if he could show that he could develop the talent, Carter Smith is going to be, you know, one of those foundation pieces on the offensive line. What are your thoughts on Carter Smith?
It was a big get, because I think a fair criticism of IU's kind of recruiting efforts so far, criticism might be a bit too harsh, but a fair concern is that the defensive side of this class is shaping up to be truly outstanding. And the early returns, as far as commits goes, was trending, you know, a lot of defense. Right now, Josh Hoover and then now Carter Smith, they're the only two offensive guys committed. So it was really important for IU to get one of their top, if not their top, offensive line prospect, and not just any offensive line prospect, but a tackle prospect with the measurables that you're looking for at that position from the state of Ohio. It's very good. You know, good program that that again, they play a lot of good competition, so you know you're not getting just a the English term for this would be flat track bully, you know, referring to a guy that just beats up on inferior competition. But when he's going up against, you know, good competition, true colors show, and there's just not much there. With the guys Indiana is bringing in, like Carter Smith or a Josh Hoover, that's not a concern. You know that they're playing good competition every week, which is going to make them better, and it's going to show you on those evaluations what it is that you're getting. Carter Smith has the frame. Right now, he's only listed at 275, which not a big concern, because Indiana set themselves up to where Carter Smith is not going to have to come in here and start as a freshman. He's not going to have to start as a redshirt freshman. He might be good enough to earn that, but it's not going to be a necessity. And that's a big change that we've seen over the past, you know, 5 to 6 years as the program has developed. You don't need guys to come in and start as true freshmen on the offensive line. They can develop, and by the time they're redshirt sophomores, redshirt juniors, you know, they are, in Carter Smith's case, you're going to look at somebody that's probably 6'6", 305, 310 pounds, something like that. And that's going to be a Big Ten-sized offensive tackle with good movement, good athleticism. You know, he plays volleyball, which just shows you that there's some athleticism there, possibly some explosion in terms of, you know, getting off the floor, moving his feet. There's a lot to like there, and I think Indiana, in the end, did beat out Tennessee, was his other main choice. That's big time. And I think that that's a trend that we're seeing throughout this class. And IU's recent classes, they're not beating out MAC schools for guys anymore. They're beating out other Power Five bowl programs like Northwestern, like Tennessee, like Missouri, like, you know, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, you know, in Trevell Mullen's case and McCullough's case, beating out Ohio State, Miami, Florida State, you know, Clemson, all kinds of big programs that are after these guys. IU's beating them out. And when you do that consistently, not every player is going to be a hit, but when you do it consistently, you are upping your talent level significantly. And I think Carter Smith's another example of that. Building that depth on the offensive line, not every player is going to be what you hope for them to be when they sign. But when you've got 10 options that are all Power 5 talents coming out of high school, as long as you have a competent coaching staff, you're going to find, you know, that rotation of 6 to 7 offensive linemen to be, you know, top Big Ten quality.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where, you know, Indiana struggled last year on the field was on the offensive line in both the running game and in pass protection. Michael Penix was under pressure. It seemed every drop back. Finally, the fourth and final commit of, since at the time of a recording is Isaiah Jones. He's a linebacker out of London, Ohio. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. He's rated as a 3-star. He is an 85.65. He was named the Central Buckeye Conference Defensive Player of the Year. He was first-team all-conference, first-team all-district. He had 63 tackles last year, 5.5 sacks. And so he's a productive player. He's kind of under recruited. He did have offers from Minnesota, Duke, Wake Forest, Cincinnati, a whole bunch of MAC schools like Akron, Ball State, Bowling Green, and Western Michigan. So it's, you know, all these linebackers, IU does a terrific job of developing linebackers. Because if you go back a couple of years, and our discussion about Micah McFadden, he was a very, very, very productive player at Plant High School in Tampa, but he wasn't really highly recruited. The knock on him was he wasn't fast enough to be, a Power 5 linebacker, and now he's an All-American. You knew he had good football instincts because anytime you make 300 tackles in a season, you kind of have to have good instincts. But with Aaron Wellman and the IU strength and conditioning staff and the coaching staff and what they do to develop guys, you know, if you have those football instincts and, you know, you show you're coachable and your measurables can be improved, then, you know, Indiana could turn you into an All-American linebacker. And it's been pretty impressive what they did with Micah McFadden. What are your thoughts on Isaiah Jones?
That commitment surprised me quite a bit. He wasn't a guy that was, you know, quite on our radar, you know, but linebacker was a position that, you know, Caden Turner was the, you know, first commit in this class, another linebacker. We didn't really expect all that many other linebackers to be considered. But Isaiah Jones clearly was a player that they liked quite a bit, brought him in for a visit and got him to commit. We are seeing a type in Indiana's kind of targeting of linebackers. They're looking for good athletes, instinctive football players that, it sounds cliche saying this, but have a nose for the football, productive tackling machines. I think that they have really loved the production, obviously, and the type of player that they found in Micah McFadden. And I think if Tom Allen could clone linebackers, I think he would clone Micah McFadden again and again and have that type of linebacker in the middle of his defense over and over. I think that's the profile that he's going to shoot for. You can't have that across the board. There's not that many of those guys that exist. But watching Isaiah Jones, he does remind me quite a bit of a Wisconsin linebacker or a Northwestern linebacker, guys that I'm attempting not to be kind of the race cliches of, oh, white linebacker, therefore he's Micah McFadden, but he is incredibly productive. And I think watching his highlight film, a guy that always does seem to be in the right place, taking good angles and finishing on tackles. But something that a couple of the scouting reports that I read, he is actually a pretty good athlete in his kind of testing numbers when he's run, you know, things like 40s or anything like that. He has tested out very well. So I think him and Caden Turner both, and that probably, you know, sets Indiana at linebacker. Plus you've got Desan McCullough, which is kind of a jack of all trades guy in the defense. You can line up anywhere. But with Turner, Isaiah Jones, those are going to be the only two true linebackers that they take in this class. I still think that we'll talk about the, you know, the rest of the needs for the class, but I think the staff's going to be incredibly happy getting Turner and Jones just because of what they project to become. Again, they're not going to have to play right away, but their tackling numbers stand out to you, and they're guys that production tends to translate from one level to the next. If you know how to tackle, you'll have a spot within the defense.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you see IU now as kind of separated the bull position from defensive line and linebacker. They've moved some linebackers like Aaron Casey down and things like that. So I think they're being more specific in positions that they're recruiting. They have several guys who are recruited to play the bull, like Richard Thomas, that, you know, could be classified as a linebacker as well. But I think that now that, you know, they have enough talent and depth to really focus on, you know, it's no longer let's get the best guy possible. It's let's get somebody who really fits this position and let's get the best person who fits at that position. Instead of, hey, let's just go get the most talented guy and plug him in, you know, where we think he may be able to fit. All right, TJ, in a minute, we'll move on to who might be the next guys to pop in favor of IU and what needs IU needs to do, Phil, before the December signing day. But first, let's get a word from our friends over at Kansas City Steaks. Kansas City Steak Company wants to make this your best grilling season ever. Visit kansascitysteaks.com and get 15% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to hard to find specialty cuts and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. These are steakhouse quality steaks aged to perfection. They make it easy. Each order is flash frozen and delivered directly. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Enjoy their butter tender filet mignon, hearty Kansas City strip steaks, and savory ribeyes. It's been a hard year, so enjoy being together again by bringing the steakhouse to your house with Kansas City Steaks. Go to kansascitysteaks.com and get 15% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. That's kansascitysteaks.com, code SD. And finally, again, our friends over at Spotify Green Room. If you enjoy talking with experts and friends about games, it's a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You could start or join ongoing conversations. It's a free app. All you need to do is download it on Spotify Green Room in the iOS and Android App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and away you'll go. All right, TJ, who's going to be next? IU has a bunch of irons in the fire, and our friend Matt Weaver over at Pigs put in a crystal ball for Ryan Miller, a tight end. He put in that crystal ball yesterday. Who might be next? Is Ryan Miller the next guy off the board, or is it somebody along the lines of, you know, a Jacoby Spells or James Mons, guys who put, you know, their commitment date at on July 4th?
Well, when Matt Weaver puts in crystal ball picks, he tends to do so with, you know, information that something is imminent. So it's not something he plays around with and just makes random guesses on. I would say that there's a pretty good chance that Ryan Miller will be, you know, committing to the Hoosiers sometime fairly soon. 6'6" tight end, that's a position IU needs to pick up somebody at. He's much in the mold of, you know, current Indiana tight ends like A.J. Barner, definitely a receiving target, not so much as a blocker. But beyond that, I think Indiana does want to take another offensive lineman. You know, there's some candidates out there for that. I think probably the top target that they would have would be DJ Moore or Demon Moore from Fort Wayne Snyder. IU has a lot of guys from Fort Wayne on the roster right now. A lot of offensive linemen actually from Fort Wayne. And, you know, Moore would be an inside guy, definitely a bigger guard. I know the Hoosiers brought the position that they're still going to be the most activity on would probably be wide receiver. Indiana is looking at losing at least two, possibly three wideouts after this season. And, you know, there's a lot of younger guys that they do like, but you've got to restock that cabinet, restock that depth. I think you're in really good shape with Omar Cooper, four-star from Indianapolis, Donovan McCauley's teammate at Lawrence North High School. It's going to be either West Virginia or Indiana as IU and the Mountaineers continue to go head-to-head on a lot of targets. Omar Cooper, I know Greg Gaines from Florida, another four-star kid. I think Sean Miller is a possibility from IMG Academy. He was on a visit here recently. Kind of those three jump out at you. Jalen Lucas was on a visit as well this past week. He's more of an athlete, running back type. He joined James Jointer, who's currently committed to Arkansas as a running back. He's a both of them bring a lot of speed. That's the thing that those two have in common, Jalen Lucas and James Jointer. Lucas would be more of a change of pace back, slot wide out, kick return, punt return kind of weapon, while James Jointer would be kind of a feature back, if you will. We'll see if one of those or both of those join the class. Again, that's kind of more on the offensive side of the ball still to come. On defense, certainly you mentioned Jacoby Spells, another four-star kid that him and Travell Mullen, very good friends, and they've been kind of the two top targets at defensive back for Indiana. Where it gets a little complicated is IU probably only wants to take two corners. If Spells commits, what happens with James Mons, who is, you know, also a cornerback from Florida, a guy that IU likes, but probably not as high on the board as Jacoby Spells. So, you know, what do you do with that? They're going to announce their commitment, you know, right around the same time. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with Spells and Mons. Does IU get one of them? Do they get both of them? The unfortunate situation would be if Spells goes elsewhere, Mons feels like he wasn't, you know, recruited quite hard enough, seen as much of the target, he goes elsewhere, and you've only got, you know, Travell Mullen lined up. So not sure how that plays out, but that will be interesting to watch. And then, you know, you're looking for a safety, maybe two. IU's got Anthony Brown and Alfonso Allen, who Allen's committed right now to Arizona State. But Herm Edwards and his staff are in some hot water over recruiting sanctions, so or allegations, I should say.
Their whole administration's in hot water. That it's a mess over there.
Yeah, which is not entirely shocking at all, but how does that impact Alphonso Allen's commitment to Arizona State? He's taking visits, so he's listening. He's another four-star player from Florida. I use pipeline to Florida, certainly playing out again in this class. And then finally, on the defensive line, IU has a lot of irons in the fire. You mentioned that phrase earlier. I'll repeat it because there are a lot of high-profile targets. The question is, how many can you go from legit high interest to a commitment? Right now, you're looking at going down the list, Caden Curry, Nijalik Kelly, Joe Strickland, Curry and Strickland, both from Indiana, both, four stars. Curry, darn near a five star. He's an incredible player. I still find it hard to believe that he ends up at IU. I think he'll end up pulling the trigger for somebody like Ohio State or Clemson, but who knows? IU definitely has his attention. Just a matter of getting over that finishing line. Joe Strickland, a lower four-star, but another very good prospect. And then two Florida kids, Zane Durant and Jamari Lyons. Durant looks like he's probably going to Miami. And Jamari Lyons, no clue yet on that. It'd be great if IU could land a couple of those guys. Realistically, you're hoping for one of them. And then that gets you up to, probably somewhere around 19 or 20 players, which will pretty much do it for this class. Because again, you always want to save a little bit of room possibly for portal guys. That's a new reality for recruiting. You've got that second recruiting cycle that you need to worry about, both keeping your own players, the ones that you really want to keep, and then attracting, some veteran talent to supplement your roster. So it's going to be a very interesting, I would say, next probably 10 days, as guys have taken visits and then maybe take a weekend to digest and talk with their families and choose, who they're going to commit to. And then you'll have another wait as the dead period sets in and guys, wait for senior year visits where they can come take visits on game weekends and take in the atmosphere of that and decide where they want to play. I would think IU is going to have another maybe three or four commits here in the next week or so before we hit that dead period again.
Yeah, it's the transfer portal is starting to play a huge role in recruiting, and there's not enough scholarship spots for players available. And so, maybe that puts a little bit more pressure on the high school kids who, you're going to see a trickle down effect of, players, veteran players who enter the transfer portal from other schools, going to Power Five schools or moving up a level, and things like that. And your opportunities at a high school to play Power Five football are kind of going to shrink. So, look, the five-star guys and the four-star guys are going to go where they're going to go. But it's those, mid to high three stars and some other people who might see that effect where if they don't pull the trigger, they're going to end up either down a level, in terms of conferences or maybe down at the FCS. And then you see the FCS teams who don't have as many scholarships as the FBS, maybe they go, D2, D3, NAIA. So, you might be passing up an opportunity to have your education paid for, to maybe go to Ohio, maybe Miami offers you, maybe, and things like that. So it'll be really interesting to watch. I think, you know, to me, I feel pretty good about IU's receiving room, especially with the class they brought in last year. Yeah, you're probably losing DJ Matthews, Ty Freifogel, and the kid from Texas A&M who transferred in. You know, those are the three that you're probably going to lose. You're probably going to lose three tight ends too, in Hendershot, Bjorsen, and Cam Taylor. And Cam Taylor and Matt Bjorsen are more of the blocking style tight ends, which I think IU needs, especially if they continue to have trouble on the offensive line. They need that tight end who could be a sixth offensive lineman like that, and let these skill guys, you know, give Michael Penix time to throw to these skill guys or whoever the quarterback is in 2 or 3 years down the road. So, you know, to me, wide receiver is not a huge priority, and you could always go into the transfer portal and pull somebody out as well. To me, you got to recruit guys on the offense and defensive line, and the defensive line looks pretty solid right now. And if you could land some of these guys that IU has on the line, your offensive line should be pretty solid as well. So that does it for today's podcast. TJ, final thoughts?
I think we talked, you know, as long ago as like April, when the visit list for June started to get circulated, that it was going to be a big, you know, June for Indiana football recruiting. And it has been. You know, the visits have occurred. Guys have come away, you know, talking about being very impressed, really liking it. Number of very good commitments that were, you know, we're not, at least I'm not sitting here saying, oh, this is a great player. This is a great player. For me, it is who has the staff targeted as kind of this is our top pick or our top one or two picks for this position. And IU staff is getting a lot of the guys that they targeted as their top priorities, that defensive back, offensive line, linebacker, defensive line, quarterback. They are getting a lot of those guys, and we're coming up on decisions for, you know, some other of those top targets. I think that so far the class is kind of assembling itself as we had hoped. And you know, it might not have an effect on the field for the next year or two, but you know, you have to capitalize on the momentum that IU football has right now as a program and continue to build it by increasing your talent level across the board, stacking those classes so that you can build the program at the level that you want it to become. For me, what we are seeing on paper is a pretty good class assembling with the potential, with some more commitments from those top targets, to become the best class on paper that IU football's ever had. And that's really exciting.
Yeah. And it's the rankings might not show how good this class really is, because it's not going to be a full class. And I think Matt Weaver has made that clear in our podcast a few times.
Looking at that average, like you did.
You look at the average and things like that. Now, I wish you could sort on the 247 website by average, things like that. But yeah, it's shaping up to be the best class ever, which we keep saying every year. Yeah, this is the best class ever. This is best because it is. And, you know, this will be, you know, 3 or 4 years that IU is stacked really good classes on top of each other. Now you're seeing it pay off, you know, on the field and in the win loss column. I think the next step for Indiana is to start, you know, they plucked a few guys from, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, you know, get the guys like Caden Curry and Joe Strickland in Indiana to stay in state if they want to. You know, it's, you can't blame a kid for saying, hey, I've been in Indiana my whole life. I want to try something new. But don't, you know, don't, you got to give them your shot, and you got to start landing some of them It generates, you know, fan interest in state as well. You know, Center Grove's really not that far from Bloomington. Joe Strickland's at Brebeuf in Indy. So it's, you know, people want to root for those local kids, and, you know, it'll help build the fan base as well. All right, TJ, that does it for today's podcast. Thank you for joining me. We'll get down to our conference previews and breakdowns here in the next few weeks. It is July starting on Thursday. So it's our final month without college football. And then we'll start up. So it's been a long off season, but recruiting's back. Football's a month away, right around a month away. And we'll get there.
Yep. Slowly but surely. I know the hot summer. Hang in there, buddy. We appreciate you listening and sticking with us throughout the off season. We'll get into our preview stuff coming up, and as always, try to give you good stuff to get you through the summer.
Yep. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We're on day 67 of our countdown to kickoff. Keep coming back. We have our daily countdown to kickoff. We have our first glance previews as well. We've previewed the opener against Iowa, the home opener against Idaho. TJ, you did since the Cincinnati game last week, and coming up, we have Western Kentucky well coming out on Friday. So keep coming back. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Follow us on Instagram as well at Hoosier_Huddle. We are on Facebook. Just search Hoosier Huddle as well. And in July, we do have a surprise coming for our fans, our readers, and things like that. I'm pretty sure that you guys will enjoy what we have coming for you as well. So keep in tune, and we'll be back with our conference previews later in July.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told. so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.